You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, no more announcements. We'll go to scripture reading. It's in Matthew today, chapter 22, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, we went out kayaking last night, Seppi and I. And there were very few people out on the lake. There were some. And it was just about an hour before the sun went down. And it was calm and beautiful. It was very romantic and very nice. And a beautiful situation, really, to find yourself. And fish jumping. And birds on the side, on the coast of the lake there, going down and swooping up fish. Beautiful sight. I've got to get myself a movie camera because there's some beautiful things there. And I know that later on in the winter, the eagles come in there. There's some eagles that nest around there, around the lake. So we're looking forward to finding them and maybe getting some pictures. So some beautiful things in the midst of this pandemic. And also, by the way, we've noticed a lot of people camping now. I suppose this is a good opportunity for them to maybe get outside, get away from their homes and enjoy some outside. And beautiful camping. And very friendly, very nice people. As we left, they would sort of stop and say hi. And they had all their barbecues going and they had all their trailers all decked out with... Have you seen these trailers, man? The sides of them pop out. So what looks to be like a pretty skinny thing, once they set up in their camp, and all these bits pop out, man, this thing turns into quite a substantial little home. And they have all the facilities there, big screen TV, and they're watching football and everything else, you know. So that's quite funny. Anyway, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee today for this time we have together to open the scriptures, read more from the book of John. We think of the world we live in, how the message of John is so applicable to many, that it has a great message of salvation, full and free, through the work of Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for our special ministry, Lord, that people can not only come to know the Lord, but also a fantastic home in the heavenly places for that great hope which has been set aside for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, yes, good, we've got pens. So today what I'm going to do is I want to look at some summary discussion about John's Gospel. Now, I started on this thinking, oh, it's going to be, you know, maybe we'll take one Sunday. I don't think so. I think probably going to take a few Sundays just to go through some of the summary ideas that in the book of John, Gospels, and that relates to ideas that perhaps are not commonly taught. And so we've been looking at these books, and we've certainly had a good look at these things and life through his name, and we've cut and paste some ideas. And where I've got today, well, we're going to start there, but then we're going to get into some summary stuff. And just as a little by way of summary from last time, we looked at this 153 and how this is related to the gematria of certain words. And if you look, for example, at sons of God, 153 comes out. This is in the Hebrew. And if you look at fishes and the net, for example, which is in Greek, that comes up to 8 times 153. These things have been studied and found. Now, there will be other ways in which 153 will come up. But I believe it has a connection. The number 153 has to do with the idea of God fulfilling in a perfect way all of his promises to the nation of Israel. And that's going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He appears, he manifests forth his glory. He manifested forth his glory right there at the marriage at Cana when he turned water into wine. And that was a tremendous picture. Why? Because if you've listened to our reading this morning from Matthew 22, you can see how this relates very much to the John 2 Cana situation where there's a marriage. And what's going to happen is there is going to be some guests which will be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And these guests are talked about in John's Gospel. So we talked about the fact that right there in John 20, there are these two endings, and John 20 and 21 have the two endings. And the reason is because we have Peter messing up royally, right? I mean, a royal denial right there, denying Christ three times. And this, of course, is not really a place where you'd want to finish John's Gospel. You really want to know, well, what happened to Peter? You really want to know that. And so in chapter 21, you get this tremendous discussion about Peter. And I talked about these two signs, the first and the last, and how that they are showing forth a progression, that Nathanael, his diffidence, is then taken away with his expression, "Thou art the Son of God." He makes this confession. And then Thomas, "Well, unless I see." And then what's his? "My Lord and my God." See, there's a progression there between these two signs. The Cana one, the marriage at Cana, and then that one with the fishes. 153 fishes where the net was full but did not break. Again, showing you the completeness of this, that his provision is exact. And I gave you this tremendous little summary that comes from Bullinger, and I think he's right on the target, and that's why I just wanted to give him the credit here for his summary of what's going on here. That, again, this is all about this draft of fishes is really showing you this tremendous completeness of the eighth sign in the fact that Jesus is the caller and he is the one that manifests his glory and brings about the completeness and the hope of Israel. Well, there's a lot of things in there. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I was going to go through this in some detail, but I'm going to be straight out honest with you. The more I dig into this, the more I can see connections and ideas which I have not completely put together. Now, I've got some of it, a lot of it, but I haven't got it all. But if you notice here, in John 21, he goes through and he asks, Jesus asks of him. He says, "Jesus saith to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" There's this word love, and I have got it here, this agapaos here, agapas. And this is a special kind of love that must be generated from the will. It's a special love that has to come from your soul where you make a decision to love. It's not something that will just naturally be a part of your being. You've got to express it and bring it forth as a matter of the will. And if you see these other words, bosketa aniamu, okay, it says, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." Going on further, this is a little discussion about what I just told you about these two words for love. One is agapan, which comes from the will, and this philein, which is much more common to mankind. And if you see the second time, it says this in John 21:16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? So again, notice it's this special love. And you'll notice the way that the way Peter responds. He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know that I love thee. Now here is what Peter says. Here is hoti, that, and here's philo, se, that I love you. Now you notice he's using a different word. So the Lord, he's using this special word for love, the one that was going to require something coming specially from the will. And then Peter responds, you know that I love you in this other respect. So the Lord is asking him, do you love me in this special way? And then Peter says, you know that I love you in this way, the common way. Something very distinctive going on here. And then the Lord says, okay, says, feed. And the word for feed is poimaine. And this has to do with like a shepherd, which can rule the sheep. And he says, okay, using that, rule my sheep. And the sheep, of course, are bigger animals than lambs. And so you get this different word being used here. And then again, the third time, here comes the third time, Simon, son of Jonas. Well, you know the story about Jonah, right? The context of Jonah is one who is disobedient. And you know that Peter, he denied the Lord three times. And now we've got this threefold questioning. You can't help but see what's going on here. The Lord is responding to this denial. And he, again, he changes the word. Now, of course, we translate this love, lovest thou me. But if you look at the Greek, notice what the Lord does. He now uses the same verb that Peter responded with. And so it says, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, phileis me. Do you love me? In this more common way. And then, of course, it goes on, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith to him, feed my sheep. And notice he changes the verb again, back to this boskia, to probata mu, feed my sheep. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, there's a lot of things that relate to the ministry of Peter and relate to this idea of his growth. Remember, when he went into the high priest's home, he passed by the door, which was looked after by a damsel. And the damsel slipped him a little question. Yeah. And he responded and denied the Lord right there. And then later on, when he's inside the house, and then finally comes out, he's warming himself. And then there's another denial, two of them, one after the other. So you can see the symmetry. So there's some things that are obvious, and there are other things that I'm learning about this. And I'll teach you what I learn when I've finished. And the study's not over yet, okay? But there's some things about this. And so you can see the first denial, the second, and the third denial, right? Coming fast after each other. Now let's get to this whole thing that I want to get to, which is the summary. Okay, the first thing that we must see as a summary about John is that it's built upon Israel no longer being Ammi. That is, they are now Lo Ammi. You can see this right here in John 1:11. So this is the first thing, that he came unto his own things and his own people received him not. Now you notice I've injected a few things. So I'm using some of the ideas that are expressed in the Greek text. He came unto his own things, and his own people received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, to become. Now notice it says the sons of God. And you notice over here it says technotheo. That's children. He gave the right to be the children of God. Now, wham, wham. That is already something that grabs your attention. First of all, there's the idea that Israel had rejected their Messiah. That's how it starts. That's how John begins. And then it goes on and it talks about, but, starts in verse 12, but as many as received them. That means, of course, people have the opportunity to receive them. The Calvinists want to say, well, no, you're elect before the foundation of the world, and that's it. But here, the conditioning goes on receiving. Your responsibility. You're able to respond. And it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he that power, the right, to become the children of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Life through his name. John 20, 31. The reason for why this thing is written. Now, you say, well, okay, we know this. Now, wait a minute. If you go through the book of Acts, right, is Acts 2, Spirit's given there. This is an important point because John talks about the Lord, how he's very concerned about his disciples, that he had to go, and if he goes, he wanted a comforter to come because they needed this. And here comes the comforter, man, and it would remain. Now, the comforter would come before. The comforter would come and go. Comforter come and go. You can find the comforter coming and going in the Old Testament. But here is something very important. It would come and remain. And would remain through this time. And so, the Holy Spirit comes. All right. And then what happens is, there is this ministry where Paul, later on when Paul is saved, he then starts to bring forward this message about the heavenly Jerusalem. This is a part of promises given to Israel, a heavenly Jerusalem. But with this comes an adoption. An adoption. That's where you're declared to be the son of God. You have been adopted into God's family, and this family has a particular hope. Well, we too. In our age, we have been adopted. There is an adoption for us. We have a place where we are going. When you come over to John, you don't find this. You don't find this adoption. You get rather the indication from John's Gospel, but also outside of John's Gospel, that there is certainly a hope presented, but it is as guests, very distinctive and different. I mean, this one here is amazing, and it goes right back to Abram, who, he lived as a pilgrim on this earth, and he lived in tents. Why? Because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. That's what he was looking forward to, a special thing. Even though he was given a promise, the hope on the earth, in addition to that, there was this big hope to do with the heavenly. Okay, so we notice that. We can already see some very, very important distinctives. First of all, this begins when Israel is Loemi. Okay, so somewhere over here, we come to the end of the book of Acts, all right, and later on we have where Israel becomes Loemi. And we know Paul, the prisoner, he receives this revelation of the mystery. And with this revelation comes the revelation of an adoption and this tremendous hope. Okay, that's cool. But wait a minute, this thing begins right here. It begins with when Israel is judged. And so John now, he has got this ministry where he does unusual things. He makes commentary at the beginning and parts of the way through his gospel and at the end, but he recalls things that happened back here by the Lord Jesus Christ and then raises them up over here in this new context where Israel is now judged. Well, that's kind of interesting and different, right? So we can see, you know, already some kind of interesting things going on. Now, notice what I put up here. I want you to look at some passages. Rather than me just talking, let's look at some passages and see whether you can see what I'm getting at. Let's go across to John 9 and 39. It says this. John 9 and verse 39 says, "And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." Might be made blind. Okay? "Those which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." Topsy-turvy thing going on here, right? And you have the Gentiles, for example, that were outside of the covenants. And then you have the people that are in the covenants that supposedly see things, but in fact they're blind. You get this topsy-turvy thing happening here. Go across to another passage with me. This is John chapter 12. Look at this. Now remember, what am I pointing out here? I'm pointing out this interesting thing that John is now talking to a group of people who are called the world, right? He's pointing out things that relate to the world, for God so loved the world. Now, he's enlarging this ministry that you find back here, right? Over here, it's very specific. If you read Matthew's Gospel, for example, man, it's big on him being the Messiah to Israel. Right? Very clearly to Israel. Now what John is doing over here, he's going back here, but he's now picking out things that pertain to a more general application of Messiah. Remember, Messiah was to use Israel to be a blessing to the world. The fact that the world would be in there is not in itself a surprise. But what is a bit of a surprise is that it would come when Israel failed. That is something a little bit unusual. Right? That's unusual. So these are some of the distinctives. So go across to John 12, and that's interesting. It's chapter 12. Have a look at verse 37. It says this. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Wow. And then it goes on, "that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart." He has done this, right? And this will only come. You see, this business of when God begins to harden them, it happens when they have had a history of unbelief. He doesn't just say, all right, before you've got any opportunity to repent, before I give you any opportunity, I'm just going to harden you. In other words, you're born hardened. No, that doesn't happen. They're not born hardened. They become hardened as they show forth unbelief. So this shows you, okay, that there must have been some serious history of unbelief. That's why he's quoting this. It goes on, and it says in verse 40, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." When he saw his glory and spake of him. Do you remember the big deal that you get with the first and the last sign? He manifested forth his glory. You see? He manifested forth his glory. And right early on here, you see the state of Israel's belief, or should I say, unbelief. Now watch this. In verse 42, it says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. Nevertheless. Right? So, right here, you've got the statement made that just like Acts 28, they didn't all disbelieve, did they? Remember that. In Acts 28, it's emphatically stated there. Some believed and some did not believe. Right? That's what it says. Verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. So you can see that they're very afraid of the authority of the Pharisees, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So their belief is, what would you say about their belief? It's kind of weak. It's a weak belief. It's a belief that is too scared to say, I know who this is and I believe he is the Messiah. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Sad, really, right? Sad. The very sad situation that's there. Now, if you read on a little bit further, go down to verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The strength of the word. And what we have today is the word. All right? We do not have the Lord Jesus Christ here with us in bodily presence. We do not have the strength of the Holy Spirit manifesting himself and doing all sorts of miraculous things in front of us. But we do have the Word, and it's powerful, man. It's powerful. Now, watch what I'm saying here. In Matthew 13, this passage from Isaiah is also quoted. But what's the distinction here? In Matthew 13, you have parables that are brought forward showing you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and showing you, despite their unbelief, how that all these things that are prophesied concerning the nation of Israel will finally come about. But in John chapter 12, no, all you get is unbelief and rejection. And those that believe, they're wimps. Right? They're showing themselves as being wimps. They want the praise of men rather than the praise of God. So it's a very different situation. Why is he doing this? Because he's backing up again what he began in John chapter 1, that he came to his own and his own received him not. Right? That's what he's backing up here. Okay, cool. Now, once you start to look at John, what do you notice? You notice that this thing is now not in context of simply a ministry to the nation of Israel. No, it's not that way. It's now worldwide. That's huge. Wait a minute. Over here, we've got a context of Israel, Lo Ami, and we've got John, and we've got this worldwide ministry. But wait a minute. We've got also Paul, who received the mystery, where he gives forward an adoption. Here we have John with a worldwide ministry with no adoption. Yes, they become children of God. They have the right, and they become guests to a marriage. Here you get a connection with a bride. Here, no bride. Rather, what we get is Paul saying, oh, wait a minute, who is this? The new man with the looking forward to being the mature male, right? A new man, let me write it, looking forward to the mature male husband in its context. That's what you get there. Very different distinctions. But wait a minute, two things going on in the same age. You say, well, what's going on here? Okay, what I said at the beginning. We're starting to see a picture of the world that we are in, right? We are in a world now where we have people where we got to confess. There's no reason why we're going to say they're not saved. They have trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And they really identify with John. I mean, wow. John is where they want to live, right? But at the same time, there is an election. And you say, are you a Calvinist? No. But elections are in the Bible. So if you're going to be biblical, you've got to believe in election. You just got to understand it right. Okay? And he made choice. He made choice among those who were saved that he would put them some special place. And that's what this mystery is all about. Okay, cool. And what I've got here as a whole, I mean, we're not going to go through all these passages. I just wanted to point out that in John's Gospel, the world is used over and over again. And the most famous passage, John 3:6, for God so loved the world, the cosmos, man, the cosmos. Pretty big ministry. Now watch this. Watch this. This thing here is interesting. Because Nicodemus is a famous person in the history of the Jews. He was a ruler. And what we get here is something quite fascinating. Let's go to John 3. Okay, look at John 3 with me. You can see this summary is going to be important to us. We're going to be putting together now, in summary fashion, some of the ideas we've covered. But let's look at John chapter 3, and let's go across to around about verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Okay? Now I've talked about this born again, born from above. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that born of the Spirit. Ah, born of the Spirit. Wind. This is not a new teaching. It comes from the book of Ezekiel. It's part of Israel's promises. And it relates to how Israel is going to be resurrected, man. A specific resurrection. Now, we all need to be resurrected so we can understand this, of course. We can understand a general application. But in this specific context, it's related to Israel's spiritual things. Now watch this. Remember, that's what John is doing. John is taking things from Israel's spiritual toolkit, if you like, and bringing them up and then teaching the world things that will have specific application to Israel and general application to the world. Both things. Okay, watch. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? He's a ruler. And knowest not these things? Okay, well, if he's a ruler of Israel and he's got this position, then these things are things that he should know about. They're part of his knowledge, or should be, as someone who is ruling the Jews, should have knowledge of the prophets and Moses. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. He's strong on this witness, strong. If I have told you, stop, if I have told you, he's now going back to what he said, you must be born again. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. So this born again stuff, being born from above, this business about the Spirit blowing like a wind, and working on these bones, man. Left bone connected to the right bone. And it goes on. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Hold the phone, man. So this born-again stuff is about earthly things. Now, that doesn't mean evil things. It doesn't mean sinful things. It just means about the hope that's associated with the Jews. And they had an earthly hope. They had promises that were given to them which would be fulfilled on the earth. But there were also other promises given to them for those who would be elect. It's amongst those who are saved. They also could have heavenly hope. For example, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. Look at this. Here's my picture. Right? Here's my picture, man. If you look at the earthly things, you can see the land of Israel, man. You can see the promises given to Abraham, the extension of the boundaries, all these beautiful things. But there's also heavenly things that you read about in the book of Hebrews and through the book of Acts, written by Paul, for example. New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Right? Then, super heaven, super celestial, the heavenly places, which you read about by Paul. Now, this business that I'm going to use the translation given here because it's also true in the sense that the idea of being born again is still true from above, but it means again. That thing there relates to earthly things, right? Because it has to do with resurrection in relationship to Israel. But the heavenly places, that is now something which is way off the view. You can't see this one because this thing here is hidden God. The heavenly things, no, those have been shown before. Abraham knew about them. But the heavenly places, no. Can you see then that you can read John all you want, but you're not going to find this hope there? Can you get saved by reading John? Yes. What hope will you get? Guessed. Guessed where? The marriage supper of the Lamb. That's your hope. You have been given the title a child of God. Over here, is there a hope different? Yes. Is there an adoption here? Yes. Is it possible then that a person could come to the Gospel of John and receive the message and then suddenly come across Dr. McLean on the radio teaching about the mystery? And all he knew was John's Gospel. And he hears this and he says, yeah, I believe that. What happens? He becomes adopted into this new family and he has a new hope. If he didn't hear that message, would he be saved? Yes, he'd be a child of God. And he'd have a hope as a guest. Yeah, you're starting to see what's going on here, right? Now, what do I have to establish? Well, I've got a lot more to establish here, man. I've just begun. I'm telling you right now, I've just begun on this summary. What do I have to establish? Well, a number of things. I need to establish that there is a gospel associated with this hope that you can hear and you can respond to. And if you respond in the affirmative, then God says, okay, you're mine, man. You're mine. I'm going to adopt you. You're going to be placed into this particular hope, a new family. I've got to establish that. There's a whole lot of other things I've got to establish, which I will, my friends. Same time, same bat channel. You know what I'm saying? This study that we're doing here, it's really an eye-opener. Now, I've got more. Like I say, there's some things I haven't finished with. That three thing where Jesus gives this questioning to Peter, there's a lot in there, but I haven't finished. I'm going to deal with that, but there's a whole lot more summative stuff that I have finished with. I have found out a whole lot of summative things, which relate to this, where you can see the distinctions between these two. Cool, man. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've had together. for the Gospel of John, Lord, as we study, we'd learn more and more. And we thank Thee, our Father, that we have this great opportunity to open the Scriptures and let the Word of God to sink into our souls, that we can have it as a meal, Lord, that we can chew on it, and that it will give us sustenance and vitality to our life. And we pray, Lord, for those who are unwell at this time, that Your Spirit will work in their lives and give them safety and health. Pray for the country, Lord, as it's going through so much turmoil. And Lord, this important election that's coming up, Lord, we pray that the right decision be made, Lord, that we would see a decision made from the country that is considerative of all that's going on, that we would go back to the Constitution, Lord, and that we would see the country come back to where it should be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.